We are going to do that a little different this morning. We're going to do it tag team. I'm going to bring it so far, and then I'm going to hand it over to Kay, and she's going to bring it the rest of the way. So, good morning. Let's turn in our Bibles to Jude. Just go to the end of the Bible and turn left. And Jude, of course, it only has one chapter. And we're going to be dealing with two verses this morning, verses 20 and 21. It says, "But you, dear friends, build yourselves up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life." I believe that we're living in a time where it's going to be more and more challenging as the church. We're living in a time where we're going to be daily meeting new challenges. And it's important that each member of the body is built up. We talk a lot about revival, but I really believe what God has been speaking to us more and more is that each individual needs to be revived. We don't forget the corporate, but it's important that every one of us is revived. Every one of us is living in revival. It's not just a revival that comes out of the sky, but every person built up and strengthened, every member of the body living in faith. So it says, build yourselves up. Now, the reason that you come to church, hopefully, one of the reasons, is to be built up. And so we can build each other up. The purpose of the teaching of the word is to build you up. The purpose of the worship is so that each individual comes into the presence of God and that we also experience God corporately, that the Holy Spirit builds us together as a temple of the Lord where the Holy Spirit can come and reveal Jesus. And this is important. We are also built up by the fellowship. I said to Tim, this is the most fellowshipping church I know. You come early and hang out, and then afterward you still hang out. And I know churches, they come at the last second and leave before the last minute. But you guys, you just really like each other. I think. Is that true? Okay, the first row said it's true. How about anybody else? Okay. I guess if you pay £6, you know, to get here and go back, you want to get your money's worth, right? That's a good idea. But it is true. How many of you are glad that you're not the only Christian in the world? We encourage each other. We strengthen each other. We provoke one another to love and to good deeds. And that's right. But you can't depend upon just somebody else building you up. You can't depend on the teaching of someone else to build you up. You can't even depend on church to build you up because it may be that something happens and you can't come. And you can't just wait for the next outpouring of the Holy Spirit someplace in the world and go there and get it. You can't even wait for the next mighty man or woman of God to come along and call you out and bless you. You have to be strengthened yourself. David strengthened himself in the Lord. When everything was going wrong, David strengthened himself in the Lord. He strengthened his own hands. He couldn't even depend on his closest friends because actually they wanted to stone him. And it says, but David built himself up in the Lord. And so we have to build ourselves up in the Lord. We are responsible to do this. No one can actually do that for us, or no one else is responsible to do that for us. We need to build ourselves up. And I have this vision, I dreamed a dream, and it is that each person, I can't sing it, but I dreamed a dream. And each person in the body of Christ is built up and strengthened in faith. Not just a secondary faith, looking at somebody else's faith, but having faith yourself in God, strengthened, built up in your most holy faith. And it says here in Jude, in verse 3, it says, I felt I had to write and urge you to contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to the saints. He said, I was very eager to write to you about the salvation that we share. But as I started to write about the salvation that we share, I knew I had to urge you to fight for the faith, to contend for the faith that was once for all handed down to the saints. He's talking about the apostolic gospel. He's talking about the real gospel. He's talking, first of all, he's talking about sound doctrine. Sound doctrine is doctrine that makes you sound. Yes. Healthy teaching is teaching that makes you healthy. If it doesn't make you healthy, it's not healthy teaching. Teaching that causes you to look inward and continually focused on your navel is not healthy teaching because it doesn't make you healthy. Teaching that continually undermines your faith in Jesus Christ is not healthy teaching because it doesn't make your faith healthy. It doesn't build up your faith. It causes you to doubt. It causes you to fear. Teaching that causes you to fear is not healthy teaching. God has not given us a spirit of fear. He's given us a spirit of power, of love, and a sound mind. And so we need to build ourselves up in the most holy faith. The most holy faith, sound doctrine, is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul calls it the glorious gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ because it really is glorious. It causes us to be strengthened in faith. It causes us to be healthy in faith. It gives us a healthy faith. It gives us a healthy perspective in life. Teaching that causes us to be fearful or depressed or filled with anxiety is not sound doctrine. Sound doctrine is also teaching that leads us to a holy life. It says here in verse 4, certain men whose condemnation is marked out long ago have secretly slipped in among you. They are godless men who changed the grace of our God into a license for immorality and deny the lordship of Jesus Christ. Sound doctrine is important because it leads to sound living. Sound living is not living by some kind of greasy grace, but it's living by true grace. True grace, the true grace of the gospel, is not just undeserved favor. It is also supernatural enablement to live a godly life. Paul said the grace of God came, appeared to all men, teaching us, bringing salvation, but also teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts and to live lives that are God-fearing, that are righteous and holy in this present age. A people that are eager for good works. People that are using the grace of God for a reason to just do whatever they want. They don't know what the grace of God is because the grace of God teaches us to live right. It not only tells us, it gives us the supernatural enablement. The presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives is His grace. And by His grace, He has implanted in you desires for holiness, desires to love. When we close our hearts off to each other, we're not living in the grace of God. We're blocking the grace of God. And God wants us to be living in His full grace, in the fullness of His grace. Not just a little part of the grace that we like, but the fullness of His grace, where He gives us the ability to do what is right and to do what is good. It's not a legalistic drudgery. It's a supernatural grace that gives us not only the ability, but the joy to do it. Wow. How is that for gospel? How is that for good news? I teach the book of Romans, and in Romans, I divide it up into four sections. The first section is the bad news. The second section is the good news. That's where we're forgiven, justified, declared righteous before Him. The third section, though, is the even better news. We get changed. See, I have to laugh at people. There's certain songs, they sound so funny to me because they say, you love me just like I am. You made me just like I am. And it almost sounds like they're singing, and I'm going to stay just like I am. And thank God I don't have to change. I don't have any joy in singing those songs because my hope is that I will change. I want to say this morning that God is not responsible for everything that I am. He didn't make me all that I am. Some things I made myself, and I'm having to pay the price. But thank God for the grace of God that changes our lives. Just lift your hands up to God and say, thank you, Lord, you're changing me. Hallelujah. I don't have to stay the same. Wow. I want to say God loves me just like I am, but He loves me so much, He's not going to leave me like I am. He keeps working in my life, changing me. That's my hope. I look in the morning, every morning when I get up, I go into the bathroom, I'm a mess. My hair that I have left is arranged or disarranged. I look really modern, actually. I look totally cool. But I look in the mirror and I go, you are not my destiny. Hallelujah. God is changing us. That's the apostolic gospel. The apostolic gospel is apostolic lifestyle. And it's also contending for apostolic power. The gospel was never meant to be just a verbal communication. The gospel was meant to be powerful. And it is. And this power is not only the power to take us to heaven, but the power to enable us here on this earth in this age. The power to heal. The power to deliver. The power of the kingdom of God. We need to contend for the apostolic faith, for the faith that was handed down to us. This gospel is supposed to be a powerful gospel. It is supposed to not only change our inner lives, but it is also the gospel of Jesus Christ is a miraculous invasion into this present evil age. An invasion of miraculous power to change things, to do things in people's lives, to heal the sick, to cleanse the lepers, to raise the dead, to deliver people from demonic oppression. God wants us, His people, to be anointed with the Holy Spirit and power to go about doing good and healing all that are oppressed of the devil. And God knows there are enough oppressed of the devil in this city alone. You don't even have to look. You just have to go outside. Here we are. There are people that are oppressed of the enemy. And God wants us to be built up in faith so that we can release that power. How many of you want to grow in faith? Just keep those hands lifted up. Lift up your voice now and just speak that out to God. Lord, I thank you, Father God, that I have the ability. Thank you for your word that builds me up in my faith, oh God, that increases my faith, Father God. Thank you that I have the ability, Lord God, to speak forth your word, to pray your word, to sing your word, to shout your word, to proclaim your word, oh God. Thank you, Father God, that your word is truth. Your word is truth. In the midst of a world of lies, you have invaded this world with truth and life, oh God, and I thank you for the truth. I thank you that I can live in the truth, live by the truth, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank God. Thank God. So the next thing it says here, and I got to get moving, it says in verse 20 again, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Pray in the Holy Spirit. I looked at a couple of commentaries on this verse. They said, this is not just talking about praying in tongues, but it is talking about praying in tongues. It may not just be talking about praying in tongues, but it is talking about praying in tongues. Praying in tongues is a very important thing. Because Paul says that when we pray in the tongue, pray in tongues, our spirit is praying. So he said, I will pray with the Spirit. I like that. Pray with the Spirit. And of course, it does mean more than just speaking in tongues. But Paul called speaking in tongues a small gift. And a lot of people say, well, it's just one of the least of the gifts. I don't really need it. We need every gift that God gives. Because you see, that little gift might be a small key that opens up big doors. So you see, a lot of times we start by just praying in tongues. But it brings us, Paul says, when we pray in tongues, we edify ourselves. We build an edifice for God to come and reveal Himself to us. And we open up a door and we come into another dimension. We start out praying, and Paul says that when we pray in tongues, our mind is unfruitful. So we don't really know what we're praying when we're praying in tongues. But all of a sudden, if we keep with it, and not back off. But sometimes people just think, you know, let's pray in the Spirit. And they go itty-bitty, 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 itty-bitty. And that's it. And then they get tired. But it's not just itty-bitty, itty-bitty. You stay with it and you pray. And just about the time that you want to stop, you switch to the next gear. And you keep going. And you keep going. And in time, things begin to open up. Your mind becomes fruitful. All of a sudden, you start to know what you're praying. You're fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is giving you truth. He's giving you, you're speaking mysteries. But all of a sudden, see, those mysteries, they start to unfold. And we start to know, oh, okay, this is what I'm praying for. And then we began to speak this out in our language. We began to know what we're praying. So we began to pray. We don't just pray all day in tongues, but we pray in tongues until we get to that place, and then we go through that door and we come into a wide place, and then we begin to speak those things out. You build yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, praying with the Holy Spirit, praying in fellowship with the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, and releasing those mysteries. Let's stand up. This is just part one. You're not going home yet. But let's just open your mouth and begin to speak in tongues. Pray in tongues. Kula baranda rabarabakataya. Kula baranda rabarabarabakataya. Kula baranda rabarabaradividi beyond the alabakataya. Loburanda rabarabaradividibishigidividibiki. Kula bakaraya. Come on, pull out all the stops this morning. Kula baranda yelebekurreviki. Liburanda rabarabarabakataya. Liburanda rabarabiyashendi alabakataya. Lopurrola makataya lamarindira vidibiki. Loburanda yalamorosekidibiki, rosekidibiki, rosekidibiki kidibiaya, reshikidabakandaya labaraya, reshikidabakandaya lamaraya, roselemarandara labarabaki, leporanda yalamakataya, she yalamarandara labarabaki, liverrendara laburandara labarabakataya, loburandara labarabakataya, Shele borondo lo boku raba kata yala mama sekarande yala mahate ore boku shende la bakataya le poranda yala vedi bisi shele boranda lo boku ra shele boronda lo boku ra shele boranda yala boku ra shele boranda yala boku ra yes shende le boku ra shele boranda la vera bakati Shilabaranda Ravadabidi Kitiaya. O Rabasiti Alamakataya. Leboranda Yelebukuraya. Thank you, Father. Shileborondo Lobukuraya. Shileboranda Yelebukuraya. Siliboranda Ravadabakati. Sindere Labukurrividibiki. Sikidibiki Kidibiki. Shakerenda Ravadabakataya. Shelle borrondolo lo buco rive di bicchi. Shelle borrondolo lo buco raba raba cataia. Shelle borrondolo lo buco raba raba cataia. Shelle borrendere la vera 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 bicchi. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Cusandella la bacaranda la vera bicchi. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God. Father, thank you for the wonderful gift of praying in the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the wonderful gift of speaking in tongues, Lord God, of praying, Lord, in a language that we don't know, oh God, so that our mind, Lord God, is not in charge, but your spirit comes and supersedes our intellect, supersedes our own opinion, supersedes even our own feelings and our own thinking, oh God, and takes charge and, Lord, gives us the prayers that are to be prayed. And, Lord, thank you, Father God. Thank you, Lord, that we can build up our inner man, Lord, praying in the Holy Spirit, praying with the Holy Spirit, praying in fellowship, oh God, with the one who knows even the deep things of God and who knows the deep things of a man's spirit, who looks inside of a person's spirit and knows exactly what we need, exactly what the situation needs, exactly what our city needs, exactly what our land needs. Father God, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for this wonderful gift that opens up great doors. And I thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give God the glory. Give God the glory. Cool.
Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I believe that God's going to open a door. Mike said a small gift that can open a great door. Hallelujah. And we believe that this morning God's going to open a great door into his glory for many, for the individuals and for the whole church. Hallelujah. So you can be seated for a second. We're going to continue. Yeah, God is going to open a door this morning. I believe Mike said Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit and power, and he released or broke the heavy yokes, all oppressed of the enemy. And God is really there now, breaking yokes of oppression, yokes of bondage. He is really releasing his people, who we are, and bringing us into a great realm of liberty, freedom. Hallelujah. And I believe especially from every religious yoke, every wrong thought about God. We see God a certain way, but he wants us to really come into the spirit of sonship. That's a long time. That's a long time. And one of the goals of my life since I've been 18, when I got saved, was to keep myself in the love of God, because I knew being a Christian, Christian, that if I would ever lose the love of God, that it would be the most boring life that there is. Because only God makes being a Christian exciting. Amen. And it's really all about God. Amen. Not about meetings or this or that. It's about relationship with God. Yes. Yes, yes. And so since the time I've been 18, this has been really one of the main desires of my heart, to keep myself in the love of God, to really not sink down out of the love of God and just become religious or just doing something or doing a program, but staying motivated, staying filled, staying up in the love of God and receiving his love. Because love, you know, when you're first married, you're on the high places of love, right? Well, the key is to stay there. By communicating, it will deepen, it will grow, it will be tested, and yet if you go through the troubled spots, you come out with a better relationship. For all of us who have been married so over 30 years, and you go through, you come out with a better relationship, a deeper, more understanding, more trust. You can really work through things. Well, even with God, the more you stay with God, stay in his love, stay in his presence, abide in his love, the better it gets. Yes, yes. The deeper it gets. The more confident you get in God. The more secure you get. The more you feel you the belonging to God. You know, we all have deep, basic needs. We're all created spirit, soul, and body. And there's parts of us that are so deep that no person can really go there. We always hope someone can go there. But deeper than really our soul love and even physical love and friendship love, we have a deeper part of us that's our spirit. And only God can love us in those places and give us our real identity as a person. And so the more we keep ourselves in the love of God, the better it gets. But another reason I just want to say, if we turn to 1 John 4, I always say, Lord, I'm staying up in love. I'm staying up in joy. I'm going to serve you out of love, and I'm going to keep rejoicing in you. I'm not going to just serve a ministry. I'm not just going to be busy. I'm not just going to do things. I'm going to keep myself in your love. Amen. And everything will come out of that. Hallelujah. Then I'll keep my joy. Yes. Then I'll keep my freedom. Amen. I always throw off the heavy yokes. Amen. I am free. And I always speak out, I'm a freedom fighter. I'm fighting for freedom. Not serving God out of slavery. Not serving God out of fear. Not serving God out of routine or duty or legalistically. But really keeping fresh, 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 fresh. Hey, God is fresh. God is really fresh. And so in 1 John 4, I love this, but you all know this, but verse 7, beloved, let us love one another. And we're going to talk about keeping ourselves in love with people, not getting bitter, but continually forgiving. But where do I want to go? Okay, so I'll read verse 9. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. I love that. God sent his Son into the world, and we don't have to live anymore in our own strength. We don't have to live anymore struggling. We can live through him. Jesus came to be our life. That's Christianity, Christ in us, and we can live. I thought, isn't that incredible? God's love is that he sent his Son. And the next verse says, in this is love, not that we love God, but that he loves us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. So he also sent his Son to take away all the wrath, all the guilt, all the shame, everything that blocked our relationship with God. Jesus came to really take it all away, that we could be reconciled, united, joined, connected, have access to God. That's why Jesus came. And the Father sent Jesus. Some people say, I love Jesus, but I have a problem with the Father. Well, the Father was the one who sent Jesus to bring us back to himself. And they're in their total oneness, the Father and the Son, to bring us up into that realm of love, to bring us back into that. So keep yourself in the love of God. Don't sink down. A.W. Tozer said, don't sink down to being just another average Christian. I don't want to just be another average Christian. I want to be a burning Christian. I don't want to be a lukewarm Christian. I want to keep myself up in the high places of God. And so, if you look at this just a little further, in verse 16, it says, and we have known and believed the love God has for us. To know that love, to experience it, and believe it. Believe the love God has for you. When I was first a Christian, I think we all hear that God loves us, but I remember when I was first a Christian a few years, I remember thinking, God, I know you love me, but I find it hard to believe that you love me, because we know ourselves, right? How we are. And I remember God saying to me, just humble yourself like a little child. He said, don't reject my love because you can't receive that I could love you so much, but humble yourself like a little child, and simply receive and believe it. Know and believe the love God has for you. And I remember when God said that to me, I just did that. I said, Lord, okay, I don't understand why. I don't understand how you could, but I will humble myself and believe it. And when I did that and really was willing not to think we always want to earn it, or feel we deserve it, or feel, well, maybe there's something about us, but to just humble ourselves and receive it, because God is love, and he loves us so much. As Mike said, he loves us just like we are, No one knows us like God. And that's why I also love God, because he loves us just like we are, but he does transform us more and more into his image. So here it says, we have known and believed the love God has for us. God is love. God is love. Unconditional love. You know, the sun keeps shining, and the rays keep burning. God doesn't have to produce. God is love. God loves us. And there's those, we all, to really come alive, more than just existing in this world. David said, your loving kindness is better than life. You know, we all have a life, but who wants to just exist and survive and make it? I don't. I want to have what's better even than life, is in life to know God's love. That's the spark that will light you on the inside. So here it says, God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. Now, I remember when I was meditating and thinking about this verse, I have known and believed the love God has for me. I have known and believed. We can know it, believe it, receive it, not just for the world, because when you believe it for you, then you can know it for the rest of the world. Because when you feel how much he loves you, how special, how valuable, what a worth you have, what a dignity you have, then you can believe he loves every person that he created. But if you don't believe it for you, you're not going to really treat others like that. You won't see the worth. The more you believe it for you, the more you see the worth that you are in God's eyes. The more you get an identity, the more your head is lifted up. The more you get confidence, the more boldness you get, the more you see how God loves you, you're going to treat other people like that. This is what makes us whole. This is what will make you a completed person, a completed man, a completed woman, will be when your spirit, the basic needs in your life are flooded with that love. And then we just read it, he that dwells in God, he that dwells in love dwells in God. And I remember, I still do that. I say to myself, I'm not dwelling in fear. I'm not dwelling in condemnation. I'm not going to dwell in guilt. I'm not going to dwell in, I dwell in God's love. That word dwell means I make my home there. That's where I live. That's where, you know where your home is? That's where you settle down and you go home there. Well, I'm not going to dwell in fear. I'm not going to live. I'm not going to dwell in confusion. You have to say that to yourself. I'm not going to dwell in inferiority. I'm not going to dwell in shame, because if I dwell there, I'm not dwelling in God. Because if I dwell in love, I dwell in God. If I dwell in that I'm accepted, I dwell in God. If I dwell in that I'm born of God, I'm a child of God, and if I dwell in love, I'm dwelling in God. I don't want to sink down to dwell in anything else. I want to make my home in that high place. Woo! Hey, and I'm a witness, there is a high place above circumstances. Now you can imagine some of us have already crossed over into 60 years old. Some will be crossing over into 60 years old, and some will shortly be crossing over into 60. You can imagine the younger ones. If you live 60 years on this life, you must have been through a few trials. Life is not a picnic. Who's already discovered that? Life is challenging. And so, I stand here really as a witness. I know the depths of despair. I know so many difficult experiences, and as a witness, in those times, in the darkest times, in the lowest times, God is there. You can't, if you dwell in love and dwell in God, you won't fall lower than God. He can keep you. And so, he that dwells in love dwells in God. Where are you dwelling? Where are you dwelling? In fear? Or in condemnation? Or in working and performing and achieving and struggling to please God? Or letting him really accept and love you and really bring you so close to him? That is keeping yourself in the love of God. So keep yourself in the love of God. Keep yourself. Keep yourself, and your life will have really a depth of meaning and strength and joy. That's amazing. I just want to show you another scripture. Oh, I didn't finish. Okay, wait 1 second. And then this goes further. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love. There is no fear in love if we're dwelling in God. You know what was the first negative emotion, or the first two negative emotions when Adam and Eve sinned? First of all, they were ashamed. They saw their nakedness. They lost their covering. And they were afraid. They hid from God. They ran away from God and hid themselves because they were fearful. And this says there is no fear in love. The more you believe in God's love, the more you accept it, the more you let him love you, the more you abide in it, the more you trust in it, you know what gets? Fear has no more power over your life. Fear to hide yourself. You know what? You become freer to be yourself. Amen. And you become the unique person that God made you. Yes. You become a unique being. The more you let God love you, you know what happens? The realer you become. Yes. The less you have to hide. Because you're walking with God, you're receiving that love, and you can become a real flesh and blood person with all of your scars and little things. You have a covering in God, and you really become less afraid, and more confident. Confident and secure. I heard someone say that this is the insecure generation. Everyone suffers from insecurities and rejections. Especially, I think today, as a lot of the family life isn't as stable as it used to be, we're becoming more and more broken and insecure. But I believe God is making up for that, because he is the wonderful Father. And he's bringing all of us into a security, a confidence, a maturity, and breaking the yokes of slavery. God doesn't want slaves. He wants sons. He wants us totally lifted up. You know, I hate the devil. You know why? Because the devil is the author of all of the evil and all of the brokenness and all of the disunity in this world. He's called the evil one. He's the first sinner. He's the first rebel. He's the first one, and he is so jealous of us, because God has brought us back to himself, lifted us up to such heights of being his sons and daughters, And the devil is jealous because he fell from a high place. And he's never getting back up there. He's a defeated, fallen angel, and he is really out to rob us of who we are in God's sight, to make us like slaves. He loves to take the dignity away from us. Oh, and that's one reason why I want to believe what we sang. I want to dance to the glory of God. I want people to see that knowing God makes us joyful and whole and happy and strong. And I want to lift up my head. I don't want the devil to push my head down, that I look like a defeated Christian, because I'm not defeated. I am more than a conqueror through him who loves me. Love is going to triumph, and especially in these days. This is the hour where we're coming into the sonship, and every yoke of slavery pushing you down, making you feel like nothing, trying to say you're nothing, you're inferior, give up and quit. That's the devil. That's not God. Because God has picked us up to the heights. He can't put us up much higher. We're sons of God. Woo! So, please, let the Holy Spirit, we want to break every yoke today, and really let God lift up our heads. Lift up your spirit. Put the confidence. Put that boldness. Put that completeness, that you don't feel threatened by other people. You are special, and that can only come when you let God love you in those deep places. So, here it says, there is no fear in love. The more God's love comes in, the more fear is driven out. Driven out. We're not dwelling in fear. Fear of failure. I used to be afraid of failing. I certainly didn't want to fail. And when I really did hit my lowest place where it looked like a failure, do you know what? That was one of my greatest places of victory. God was there. So now I don't have a fear of failing because I already feel like I did fail. And it wasn't that bad. So now I'm free from all the fears. Well, there's all kinds of fears. Sometimes you have to walk right through what you fear the most. And you find out when you walk through what you fear the most, it has no power over you, and it really wasn't what you feared at all. And you see, wow, God was there in my lowest place. He was there. And it's amazing. He was there. He carried me through. And you know how you come out of the trials? More confident, more convinced. When you go through, the devil wants you to doubt God's love, doubt God's goodness, doubt. And sometimes you can't understand it. But God never said he's going to answer all our questions. Just trust him. He'll work it out. And you'll look back later, and you'll see how God was in control. So, keep yourself in the love of God. Don't be someone who falls into doubt, falls into accusing God of not being faithful. Keep yourself in the love of God. And I just want to say one more thought. Actually, I have a thousand thoughts, but one more point. I had a thousand scriptures. That's why. But anyway, when that says keep yourself in the love of God, I also believe it means if you're going to stay in the love of God, you have to stay in love with people. It's vertical, but remember, if we don't forgive others, it breaks that confidence towards God. And so, as I said, I'm going to be saved 40 years this year. Those are two things that I feel that, of course, I've seen so many people in these 40 years fall on the side, not Christians, starting out good, but somewhere along the line they get bitter, they get offended, they get hurt, and they slowly isolate, slowly move out, and they can end up really isolated. I don't know what it's like in England, but I was just talking with a leader in Germany, and he was at the charismatic leaders meeting in Germany, and I asked them, well, what were they talking about, the leaders of Germany? He said, oh, it was very depressing. And he said they were talking about how many Christians are dropping out of the churches and just having their church on television or whatever, isolated. And you know, if you want to keep yourself in the love of God, you've got to keep yourself in the body. Yes. If you want to make it to the end, you have got to keep yourself in the body of Christ. You have got to be committed in your heart to practicing forgiveness, continual forgiveness. Continual, not getting offended at people. Forgiving. Hey, you know why you can keep forgiving? Just look at yourself. If you were perfect, well, then maybe you could throw a stone at someone. But that's the question. Are you perfect? I keep forgiving because I think, oh, God, okay, they may have made a mistake. They might not have known what they were doing. They may have done something. But I also need continual forgiveness from God. And so love, 1 Peter 4, verse 8 says, above all things, have fervent love for the brothers. That means have love to the boiling point, because love covers a multitude of sins. Love covers, because love will cover the sins and the weaknesses. Love will give grace. Love will help others grow. Love will celebrate others. And love will, like grace, God creates a place for us to have room to grow. Aren't you happy you have room to grow? I'm happy I have room to grow. And I want to give you room to grow. And I want to give you room to grow. And I want to give you room to grow. And I want to believe that we can all grow together into the full potential that God has. And just my own personal testimony. Mike and I, we've been 35 years on the mission field. And we've worked almost all of our lives with a team of people. I love to be in a team. I would rather pay the price to fit into a team, even though sometimes it's kind of narrow. Because I remember when I was like in the team where we worked in Germany, my parents were the leaders. And then you have people over you, near you, under you, your husband, you're this. I said, oh, Lord, this is really sometimes fitting in with everybody. Sometimes tight. But I would rather pay the price to fit into a real community any day than be out on my own. Any day, I would rather pay the price to get along with people, to learn to really love people, to learn to fit in, and to learn to go together with a common call and a common dream and a common vision. Plus, I believe in the body of Christ. I believe that there's blessings and protection in the presence of God when we come together than if we're out on our own. And it's something you have to be committed to in your heart. I say, especially when if I take communion, I'm committed to Jesus, the head, but I'm also committed to his body. To honor his body. I'm a part of something that's so glorious, and I'm not going to let myself be pushed out on the side. I'm a part. Amen. I'm a living member of a living body, and I honor the body. And as I said, we've worked most of our lives in a team, and there's such incredible blessings to be part of a community or a fellowship of people that all want to go in the same direction to glorify God. And the more love that you have in your community, your fellowship and church, the more acceptance there is, just like God accepts us, you know what happens? As I was saying, the creativity and the freedom for every single person to develop grows. So, keep yourself in the love of God. Don't let yourself get bitter, unforgiving. Keep yourself in love. Don't fall out of love. And you will really be able to continually grow, live in the authority, and that is where the authority is. And I personally believe the end time church, well, I believe the end time church is coming into glory and into an outpouring of the Spirit, but it's in the communities and fellowships where there's worship, where there's prayer, and where there's a loving community. That's where the Holy Spirit's going to be poured out. And that's where the glory is going to just start to come. And that's where Jesus is praying in heaven that we would all come into unity, that the world might know that and believe and see that God loves us just like he loves his son. And if Jesus is praying it, it's going to happen. And it is happening. The mature body of Christ is overcoming these obstacles and going to come into a realm of such glory and such love, and that will release the power. That will release the authority. That will release the breakthroughs. That will release it. Love, to me, is the greatest weapon there is. We talk about spiritual weapons. And the blood of Jesus is a spiritual weapon. And the name of Jesus is a spiritual weapon. But you know what's the greatest weapon? Love. And joy. Whoa, if the devil can't take your joy, he has no room. That's why I choose to keep dancing. Keep singing. Keep praising. Keep staying in love. Because I don't want to be another average Christian, and I don't want to be a defeated Christian. Hey, we're going to win. Well, I'm going to close. I was just thinking when I said we're going to win. That reminded me of the film Chariots of Fire. How many have seen that? About Eric Little. So Mike can do it better than me because I don't have a very good British accent. But the girlfriend of Harold Abram, right? Abram? Yeah. Abraham or something? Abram. Okay. He said Harold was so tense and so nervous. And she said, Harold! Don't have to get so excited. It's just a game. It's just a race. Oh, it's just a race. Can you say it for me?
Only a race. I don't race to have fun. I race to win.
Yes. Hey, and we're in the greatest race of history. And we're in the greatest battle of history. Hey, and we're on the winning side. So let's stand up. God wants to break every yoke of bondage, every yoke of slavery, every yoke that pushes you down, every yoke of fear, every yoke of independence, every yoke of rejection. There's a realm of freedom. There's a realm of glory. Come up higher. Lift up your hands. Oh, and let God lift your spirit up. To dwell in God and to dwell in love. Hallelujah, Lord. Oh, la la ba ka yan da. Oh, la la ben da da ba ka ya da bon da da bo di yan da. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, la la ba ka yan da. Oh, la la ba ka yan da. O and I. Oh, lalabakai and I. Receive that acceptance. Receive the friendship of God. Receive His love and covering. Receive His Father love. His Father love for you. And that will make you whole. Oh, that will make you His son with an identity. Oh, la la ba kai and I. Oh, God is bringing forth a healthy, healed people. Health, health, health in your souls, that you might prosper. Be in health, even as your souls prosper. Oh, hallelujah. Receive God's prosperity in your mind, in your personality. Receive God's healing, acceptance. Receive His love. He loves you like He loves His son, with the same love of sonship. Oh, receive the spirit of sonship. Receive the spirit of sonship. Receive that love. Oh, receive it for your special creation to God. You are special, loved by God. Oh, la la ba kai and I. Oh, la la ba da da ba di and da da ba di and I. Thank you, Lord. Oh, let the wave of glory, let the wave of hope, let the wave of love, oh, hit you hard, right in your spirit. Oh, la ba ka ta ya nda da ba di ya nda la ba nda. Ula bakayandai, ula la bakayandara bariandai, ula la bakayandai. Oh, hallelujah. Let that love and acceptance sink down to the depths of your being. Let it sink down, pour in to your heart. By the Holy Spirit, He's pouring directly from the Father and Son that life of love and sonship, that love of God. The love of God is not up in the clouds. It's poured right into your spirit by the Holy Spirit. And it goes out into your whole being. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. And I just believe that God is creating a community of love and worship, creating a place of healing and power where there's such freedom for all the nationalities that are here. Each one is a special color, a special a dimension of a creational giftings of God. God wants to bring the whole color, the whole giftings, and release them into this place. And I just believe that God is saying to you, He releases you. He releases you from every yoke. And He lifts up your head with confidence. This goes for the women and the men. This goes for every nationality. This goes for every age. Everyone has that spirit of life, and every member is important to the body. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we just thank you, Lord, what you're creating in this hour, Lord. And we believe for your power and your glory to be revealed, O God. Amen. And we believe for that coming into the fullness of the stature of Christ, the fullness of the character of love and joy and peace, and the fullness of your gifts and your power, O God. Lord, we thank you, Father, for this church. We thank you for every individual. Lord, we thank you for every child, every family. Lord, we thank you for everyone to grow and to grow together and to grow the kingdom, and that this principle of growth is in us and through us.
Thank you, Jesus, so much. Thank you, Lord. I ask you, Jesus, to fill us continuously. Fill us with your love. Fill us with the love of the Father. Continuously pour into our hearts healing, restoring, delivering love. And Lord, keep us walking. Keep us walking in your love. Let us become so used to remaining in the love that when we step out of the love, it's just so foreign, we don't want to be there. Then we want to stay in the love of Jesus. The Father's love abounding in our lives. Thank you so much, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. It's yours. It's yours in Jesus' name. You can have that all the time. All the time, it's yours. Just bless Mike and Kay. That was such a good revelation to us, good teaching. Bless them. Bless them. Amen. And you know, the love that's in you will flow out into the world. His love in you will begin to heal the world around you, your friends, the people you work with, etc.